And Christian greetings to each of you this evening. It's good to be here and to share with you. Been 12 years since I was here. Went back and looked at my records. I couldn't think it quite seemed that long, but that's what it was. But I enjoy being here and to share with you once. Feel your heartbeat, what God is doing among you. And that's one of the things that's always blesses me as I share with God's people. Tonight I'm going to share, and I thought Brother Stan was going to steal my verses, but he didn't. This is from Psalms, and he said Psalms, uh-oh, but he didn't. I'm going to share from Psalms 84. It's my title of my message tonight is Power to Cope with Life, and Doing That Through the Way of Faith. Faith is something that's so important. I have found that in my short lifetime. I tell people it took God 50 years to make me what he wanted me to be to spend the next 25 years doing what he asked me to do. That might seem strange to you, but that's really where it's at. In the last 25 years, I've done things, if you had asked me in the first 50 years, I would have said, no, I couldn't do it. I couldn't handle some of those things, but as you walk with God, there's some things that he does in your life, and he leads you along as you learn to walk by faith. Follow along as I read Psalms 84. It says, how amiable in the King James, or how lovely are the tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yet his fire hath found a house, and the swallows the nest for herself, that she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in this house, that they may still be praising thee, Selah. It's really what Brother Stan was saying. We continue to praise him. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, in Zion appeareth before God. O God, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, my God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. The Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I hope as I share tonight that I can share a few illustrations of what I was talking about, God walking with us and guiding us and directing us by faith. Think back to 2019, I was asked to go to India. That was a big step of faith. Never been in India. I don't know their language, the real language. How do you preach through an interpreter? And I had done some of that. I did it in Haiti probably 20 years before, 15. So I know something about preaching through an interpreter. I had a wedding once of a deaf person, and they had four or five benches of deaf people, and a lady was going to be signing. She says to me, if I give you looks that aren't too friendly, you're talking too fast. Slow down, because I got to sign, and I can't sign as fast as what you can talk. And so I know a little bit about it. But as I spent those 3 weeks in India, probably 3.5 in India, but we got there, they told me to bring along some sermons that I preached before, so I thought 1 Timothy would be a good book to use to share with these men who were studying to be pastors, and we were trying to teach them. So in my sermon notes, I usually speak 30, 40 minutes. We got there, and they said, no, this is going to be 90 minutes. They're going to talk every session 90 minutes, so do some more study. And I did some more studying while I was there. But, you know, it was a good time. I enjoyed that. In fact, yet every Sunday morning, one of the graduates from that class, there was 30-some in that class, sends me his, what he's going to preach on Sunday morning in India. And that blesses me. Now, I get to see what he's going to be talking about. Every Sunday, he sends it to me faithfully. And he was one of the men that were in the class. We came to the last day, the graduation, and they said these young men never went through a graduating class. They don't know what it's like to complete something. They said, you go home, the two instructors, and enjoy your night of rest and sleep, and come back tomorrow to the graduation, you have nothing to do. I walked in the next morning, they handed me the program. Orville Grable gave a 20-minute message to the men in party. What do you say? I went out to the balcony. We were on the fifth floor of the hotel. We could look down over the city of Bhubaneswar. And I went out there, and let me back up a little bit. The day before, I get a text from one of our brothers from our congregation. Said, Orville, I'm praying for you that you can finish well. Okay, I didn't know what that meant altogether. I did at this point. So I went out there and I just raised my hand. I said, God, you brought me here for a time like this. A brother in our congregation is sending a prayer that I can finish well. Lord, I don't know what this all means. I need a word from you. Philippians 3:10 came to my mind. I just said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And then sat down and I flipped through Philippians 3 and read couple verses there, near verse 10, and I get up to share 20 minutes with those men with no notes. I looked at my time, and I was past my time already. 20 minutes had gone, and I couldn't, I wasn't done. But that was the power of God ministering to me that didn't do any studying throughout that I didn't know about. And I guess God knew that would be better than if I would have went home the night before and prepared that. I don't know how many of the men, as I greeted them to thank them for being there, told me, Pastor, we could just feel something was happening. Something was taking place. Something was, they were experiencing God in a new way. And I could share many more. I need to move on. Simple but genuine trust in God is the key of true religion. Faith in, trust in, dependence on God are the keys for right living with God. When I called and told the brother who was in charge of that going to India, I said, I will come. I said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. That's the only way I'll go. And God's spirit will work. God's spirit will lead. God's spirit will direct. And I sensed that, I felt that, even though I struggled sometimes with my King James Version and the person who was translating, when you're going through a translator, you say a couple sentences and then let them share. Then you're thinking of your next things you're going to be saying, and he turns it, what did you just say? I don't understand. Now I got to reverse things pretty quick and go back and think what I just said, those sentences before, but I prayed to God. I said, God, something isn't clicking here. I don't understand what's happening. And he says, find out what for translation he's using. And if I understand correctly, he was sharing from William Carey's translation. And so when he would say, I don't understand, I said, what does your Bible say? Well, I know. And then you're ready to go. He didn't understand the King James in reference to William Carey, but there was no problem after that. So trust in God is the thing that's so important. We become the children of God as a result in faith in Jesus Christ. I have talked with, I have dealt with, I have shared with so many people that come to faith in Jesus Christ, especially in 20-some years of prison work, that they said, I wished I would have done this before. In fact, last Sunday, I shared at Lakeside, and in Howard, and I was done preaching, one of the men that was there, part of the congregation now, came from the old order Amish, came up to me, and he said, Orville, you were preaching at me. I said, not that I know of, but I was preaching the word. And he said, it's what I needed. He said, "I'm going through some difficult times." He said, "I've been asked to go out to Indiana, and I'm leaving tomorrow morning, Lord willing, to work with a congregation that's dealing with Section 6. And he says, "That's not easy." He says, "You get some backlash, some problems you deal with." He said, "God is faithful." Thank you, Stanley, for sharing that in the beginning, because God is faithful. He cares about it. He's good even in those tough times. And he says, "Those are some things that I am dealing with." And he says, "That message you shared last Sunday was just what I needed to walk into what I'm going to be facing." Genuine faith needs, as one writer says, to encourage faith, at the same time explains the nature and walk of faith in these words, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thy own understandings, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your path." I didn't understand all of God's ways. I didn't understand all that God was doing in my life. I didn't understand what God was doing to these young men that were studying to be pastors. The younger man, I could speak English. The older man, no. There comes this 60-year-old man after one of my sessions in India, and he came up to me and he says, "Pastor, pray, pray." I said, "Translate it. No. He can do it. He can do it." Now, I don't speak in tongues. I put my hands on his shoulders, and he put his on mine. And I prayed and called out to God. I said, "God, I don't know what's the problem. I don't know the family. I don't know what the situation is. But God, I'm praying it to you that you minister right now to this brother." And he began to shake, and the tears were running down my shirt. When we got done, he hugged me with, I can hardly get my breath for a while. He just says, "Danyabat, Danyabat," which is thank you in the Riyadh language. "Danyabat, Danyabat." Can God take somebody speaking poor English and translate it into the real language that man can understand? Yes, I believe that with all my heart. He did that day. I saw that. It was just something that God did in ministering of a way of faith. The writer of Hebrews said, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We don't always see. When I climbed into that big jet, my wife and I and daughter, to go to India, I had faith that that jet would take us there, and then after 14 or 15 hours sitting on there, you're wondering if we're going to get there. But we did. It just to see God work at times is just... I just give him the honor and glory. Faith. Another writer says, faith in terms of deep conviction that God exists and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Our Lord encourages his people to have faith in God at all times. There are three elements to genuine faith. The first is to know, have knowledge of God. Who is God? Do we know him? Do we experience him? Do we walk with him? The second is an intellectual assent. One must acknowledge with one's mind that the knowledge he or she has of God is true. And that's what it needs to be. Yes, what God speaks is true. What's in his word is true. We can live by it. We can walk by it. And the third element is trust. Putting confidence in that which one has accepted with one's own mind for truth. 5 points. I want to look at this evening, and I'll have you out before midnight. Number one, faith focuses our worship on God. Psalms 84, 1 and 2. Again, the psalmist breaks in here to write. He says, "How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." God, you are real. You are genuine. You are there to lead us. You're there to guide us. You are going to lead us today. You're going to lead us tomorrow. You're going to lead us in the future. Stan says, "I'm trying to retire after 47 and a half years. And that's going to make a difference. I'm not going to be running to meetings a couple nights a week. I'm not going to be studying, and what am I going to do with those time? How am I going to handle, how am I going to find something to find fulfillment in doing all that? And yet God is good as we walk through it day by day. God is good all the time. Genuine faith in God focuses people's minds and hearts and energy on God as being the supreme value of their lives. Genuine faith in God leads people to commit all, A-L-L, their ways onto Him. Just some clips I had picked up as I was studying here on faith. Someone has said married couples may worship their mates by putting them first and foremost in their relationship. That isn't what God says. Yes, we honor and we respect, but not foremost. Parents may worship a child and give the child the status of being an idol. People may worship their work and live only for their work. It's just, that's the most important thing in their lives. People may worship insignificant goals and spend their life in mediocrity. To worship God, or to worship anything less than the true and living God, is to be guilty of idolatry. In India, we lived at the edge of Bhubaneswar, where there was 1 million people, and Hindus all around us, big apartment house just right out from our window. And I would see, they had these little statues sitting around, little men, and that's who they worshipped. Ladies would come out in the morning and bring a drink offering out, pour in that little cup that statue was holding. Or I've seen them bring out a roasted chicken and put it on the lap of that, and then go through their daidus in worship. You know what the dogs, they just loved that. As soon as she left, those dogs were there, and they had the best meal that they had probably for a week. But that is what people were worshiping, an idol that didn't do anything for them. To worship anything less than the true and living God is guilty of idolatry. Genuine faith causes a person to let God be God. Is God your heavenly Father, who you are serving, who you are walking with? Point number two, faith finds its security in God, verses 3 and 4. Here it talks of a natural, the sparrow found a house, a swallow a nest for herself, that she may lay her young even on thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they which dwell in thy house. What's it say? The last part, they will still be praising thee, Selah. That is wonderful. That is, I appreciate going into homes of older people and they're praising God, even though they're older and they can't get around, they can't do things, and they can tend to be negative. But ones that can really praise the Lord, even in those situations, is wonderful. And I thank God for those people. Find security in God. Psalmist had been in the temple area and observed the sparrows building their nests and raising their young. Very secure place for the sparrows. And the psalmist says this scene reminds him of the security that God gives to you and I. Friends can aid in bringing us in the feeling of security, but not altogether. Many people seek security through the purchase of property or through buildings or insurance programs or you name it. I've talked to people that they have all of their insurance needs, and then they even take out more insurance yet, so they're covered if something would fail in those other ones. The only real security people can experience is the realm of the spiritual. God wants to forgive our sins, remove our destructive guilt. He wants to assure us through the abiding presence and purpose of love, in order to relieve our fears and our anxieties. A number of years ago, being with the Light of Hope Prison Ministry, I can get to win the prisons If I need to visit people, and the young man was down back at Sunbury in prison. He was doing some struggling. I know he was having it difficult. So I called Light of Hope and I said, can I go to this prison, take some men along from Susquehanna on a Sunday morning, and share a service? Well, they double blessed me. They said, yes, you can, but you're going to have two services. Two right back to back. And so I shared with a man, I think it was three or four of us went, and I said, this young man, I haven't seen him for a couple years. I'm not sure if I'll recognize him, but I said, we're going today to bless and minister to him as well as others that God brings to us. So we had the first service. I was meeting the people as they were coming in, and I thought I recognized the young man coming in, and I shared with my friends there from Susquehanna. I said, I think this is a brother. So he came in, gave me a hug. We had the service, and we had to get the men out as quick as we could because the next service was starting. So I dismissed them, was still standing on the platform like I'm doing here this morning, just watching and see what was happening. And here I saw this young man coming down. I thought, he can't do this. He has to get out of here. He has to hurry. He came up, tears streaming down his face, and he just gave me a bear hug. I was almost born like it, you know, said thank you. You never knew what this Sunday morning meant. And he turned around and headed out through. And I saw him going out and merging in with a crowd there from the prison. And then I began to cry. And so when the tears went down my face, I said, thank you, Jesus, for allowing this to happen this morning, that we could bless one man's life, to increase his faith, to encourage him, to bless him as he was experiencing some difficult times. Third point I want to look at this evening is faith finds fulfillment in helpfulness. Verses 4 through 6 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, that they will still be praising thee. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them, whose passing through the valley of Baca maketh a well, the rain also filleth the pools. My wife and I and daughter had an experience to go to Israel. We tried it 2 years, and they were always fighting when we wanted to go. And finally, last year, we got to go in October and November. And I had never seen a barren land as the southern part of Israel. It was just barren, rocky. I said, where is this that's a land flowing with milk and honey? And I understand this was years and years and years later. But it was just barren, dry. We had no rain the whole time we were there. I think it was 10 or 12 days we were there. But you're seeing what desert was like. I can share story after story right there. But being able to walk and see the valley of Baca, a desolate desert area. You wonder how they got along. Camels out there grazing on nothing. It looked like it. I mean, they'd walk, the dust would fly, it's that dry. And they would get a pickup and herd them down through to a water area where they could get something to drink. But very, very dry, very desolate. And we got to go up through, went clear to the northern end of Israel. But Sea of Galilee was my favorite. I loved that there. That was just something about the Sea of Galilee that we spent 3 nights on the shore of Sea of Galilee, and there it was better. You had some more range. You had some water. You had some green grass growing. And those are times that of refreshment, times of joy. I would go down every morning to the water and just have my devotions with God, share with him, just saying, God, thank you for this new day. Thank you for bringing us here where Jesus walked, that it can be something to help my Christian walk, to encourage others in their walk of faith and what they're experiencing in life. And I tell everybody, I read the Bible now with new lens, new eyes, as I read and understand some of the things in the scripture. Valley of Baca was a desolate desert area. The psalmist saw people of faith, of having the capacity and disposition to transform the desert life into an oasis that brings refreshment and joy to others. They took us to one place where they said, they think this is the area where Moses struck the rock. Wasn't it? I don't know, and that isn't that important to me. But to see the water coming out of the rocks, all solid rocks, but water was coming out, coming down, had a big pool, get away from it a couple hundred feet, it all disappears under the stones, sand, and I don't know where it comes out. But again, that was refreshing just to be able to see that. There's times we can have serious disagreements with others. Life can be a very unpleasant experience unless someone serves as a change agent and works for the good of others, helping them, ministering to them. The first deacons were problem solvers who brought harmony into the fellowship and peace among those who felt they were being mistreated. The result of the ministry, first deacons, there was that the word of God increased. The number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. That's exciting. That's exciting to see that happening. One of the traits of being an ideal follower of Jesus Christ is that being a peacemaker. You're willing to get your hands dirty to be a peacemaker. The scripture tells us that I don't have time to go into that scripture in depth, but the scripture talks about the Good Samaritan. He was one who was willing to minister to someone who was beaten, left there half dead. He was willing to go in there and to minister in his life, save on his own mode of transportation, poured oil and wine into his wounds, and take him to an inn and pay him for services, and said, when I come back, I'll give you more if it takes more. Is our faith expressing itself in deeds of kindness and helpfulness to others? Number four, faith is a life of dialogue with God, verses 8 and 9. Said, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Again, a life of faith is a dialogue with God, talking with God, walking with God. Prayer is not a pious pose that we assume. Prayer is not a burdensome duty that we must perform. But prayer is that joyful privilege of communicating with the Heavenly Father with all of our questions, problems, and needs. God is there. He cares about us. In India, one day we were teaching, and all at once they said, oh, stopping. Said, somebody has a problem, a serious problem, one of the men, and we need to pray for them. They came and told me, said, Lord, we'll take your shoes off. This is holy ground. When they pray, when they pour out their heart to God, you take your shoes off. I did more preaching and teaching in my stocking feet in those 3 weeks than I did my whole life. But again, walking around and placing our hands on those men and praying for them, especially the one who was having a problem, to pray, have a special prayer, was being able to dialogue with God. That same week, I think it was, they got up and said, the FBI of India knows something is happening here at this hotel. We had rented the fifth floor. No one else was allowed up on it. The elevator wouldn't let them get beyond the fourth floor, but we had a code that we could get in. And so we could go up to the fifth. So they called a meeting. They said, let's kneel down. Let's pray that God blinds the eyes of the FBI of India so they can't find this hotel. They never came. I don't know what God did. but they never came. They knew something was happening. You aren't allowed to have Bibles in the open. You always had to put them in a satchel, backpack, whatever, as you walked around outside. No Bibles, they wouldn't let you do that. Scripture tells us that God is always present. He is everywhere present on the job for good to those who love him. And that is something that is so thankful that we can be part of a God who cares, who walks with us, who ministers with us. We took our youth group 4 years ago, five, I'm not sure, to Mexico. And I had somebody come to me and said, Orville, you take that youth group down there and somebody gets hurt, your blood is on your shoulders. That don't make you feel good. We were right in the area where the drug cartel was. They were just right there. And they were watching our every move. They told us as long as we stayed in the orphanage and followed them, there's no problem, but just to be aware that they're there. And yeah, that was a little nerve-wracking for me, and yet that's what God wanted us to do, to go down there and take our youth down and be part of that. And God worked it out. Even in the midst of one person got killed just outside the fence of the orphanage, one of the mornings, they called me at the hotel and said, hey, take the youth down to the river this morning, have longer devotions and a prayer time, and then at 9 o'clock, come out to the orphanage for your breakfast. They didn't say nothing more. I didn't ask anymore. And we got out there. They told us what happened. The drug cartel caught two of the men outside the fence and killed the one. The other climbed over the fence and came in all beat up, sliced with machete, and was bleeding profusely. They took him to the hospital, and you know, I think they saved him, but I'm not sure. And now, being part of that, and our youth group was there, I went one day with the superintendent to win the town to get some supplies, and he said, Orville, I just want you to know that the drug cartel are watching your every move here. He said, they know you're here. They know you're helping the orphanage. They like the orphanage. They like the good work we do, so you're protected if you stay under our inside defenses and listen to what we say. So God is a God who cares. At the same time, it was just at the end of the, or I want to say COVID. We just came through COVID. And so we had 22 of us. And they said everyone has to test negative to get back into the United States. Pretty big order. I didn't quite have faith. So what we did, we sat down as a youth group, and there was a couple there that had no children, and they said, hey, we don't have children, nothing that matters. We'll stay behind if one or two or three wouldn't test negative to get back into the States. They'll stay, and when that works out, they'll come home with him or them. So we went and had our test, blood tests. We headed up for a hike into the mountains. And we got to the top of the mountain, there's a big cross there. And I'm Catholic, I don't understand that. But you look out over a couple cities, and high. And the phone rang, and they got the word. They said, everybody passed, got a negative test. And I never heard from our youth groups many amens and hallelujahs as there was that day. Now this, I said, let's have a worship time here. Let's just praise and thank God, because he worked another miracle that I struggled with, couldn't really happen in this situation. And yet, it did. I think the final point is faith is a way of joy that excels all others. In verses 10 through 12, I like what it says here. For a day in my courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. God, to follow God is a way of joy that excels all others. I have seen men and women, young people, putting their trust in things I wouldn't think of putting their trust in, but they thought that was the best they could do. The psalmist says, one day with God is better than 1,000 days away from Him. The psalmist would agree with the poet, says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. It's really where it's at. If we walk with Him, I have seen many of the persons in a revival meeting come out to the front room to want to accept Jesus Christ, and after they did that, they said, I just feel so good in here. Why didn't I do it long ago? Why did I wait so long? Just where it's at. If you follow Jesus, He's there to walk with you, to direct you and guide you. Sweeter than the day before. To be a humble doorkeeper in the house of the Lord brings more joy than to dwell on high in the tents of wickedness. We were with our CAST program over two years ago, down in Texas. And we enjoyed it. It was a good time with the CAST boys, sharing with them individually, praying with them individually in their problems and struggles that they had. And it was a good experience down there. So one day my cell phone rang and I picked it up, and there was Jim Weaver. I said, Oral, we need you to go to Grenada. I said, Jim, I'm down in Texas. Well, he said, I knew I'd probably catch you there, but he says, we need someone to go to Grenada to fill in. We need somebody there for a month. You and your wife and daughter want to go along down and do that. I said, wait till we get home from Texas and we'll talk about it. The Lord worked it out. We went down November and beginning of December, and we had a good time. Walking those hills, if you were ever there in Grenada, it's up and down, and Sammy Mapson, he wanted us to, there's a colored brother there, minister, and he wanted us to walk around. He says, you walk around in these hills, he said, and you just pray for this Grenada, for men and women, boys and girls, that God would speak to them and come to know who Jesus really is. He says, when there's nothing else to do, you go out there and walk. And we did quite a bit of walking up and down the hills, and you get up on top of one, and you go down, and you go up another. But we enjoyed it. It was hot, it was humid, but it was a good experience. You know, almost four and a half weeks we spent there, and I got up Sunday morning. I preached not quite every Sunday, almost teaching Sunday school one Sunday for them, but, you know, it's just to give Sammy a break, to help them, to minister to them, and I got up that last Sunday to share and preach. I said, I'm going to be taking a little bit of you to long back with me. And Sammy gets up and he says, listen, Pastor, he said, we're going to keep a bigger hunk of you here than what you're taking back. And so I think he enjoyed being with us and spending some time together. But the way of faith is the way that excels all others. I'll never forget as long as I live. Coming down into Grenada, water everywhere. We left JFK, over the ocean, water, 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 water. We kept coming down and down and down, and I looked, you're still going almost 300 miles an hour, and I don't know, it was 300 feet off the ground, so I knew we were going to soon be touching down. And I said, I hope the pilot can see something that I can't see. But all I see is water. And I don't know how many people said, we had the same feelings, but we've seen that. But as soon as you touch ground, then you start seeing ground. Or touch down on the runway, then you see ground. I wasn't sure. It was one of those moments you were wondering, is this what God really wants? It is. In conclusion tonight, brothers and sisters, Jesus speaks of the importance of faith in saying, if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Do we really believe that? There's times I don't think my faith is strong enough. There's times in the past 25 years that I didn't know I could handle some of the things God was asking me to do, but He walked with me through it. Mustard seed is one of the smallest objects known to Jesus' disciples. A mustard seed was a living, growing thing. Jesus was saying to use that faith you have. To have faith, we need to read God's Word daily.
We need to listen to the Lord as he speaks to us. We need to claim his promises. To grow a greater faith, we give ourselves not only to private worship, but also to regular public worship as this evening. To walk the way of faith, we need to give ourselves to something outside ourselves that is bigger than ourselves and trust God to help us accomplish it. I have a number of stories I could share yet. In my prison work, one day the chaplain came to me Sunday morning. He said, "Orville, we have a brother here who has stage 4 cancer, and he wants to be anointed." He said, "It's not something we do in prisons very often, but," he says, "we're going to do it this morning. Will you be part of it?" Yeah. They'll probably just have me lay hands on the brother and pray, you know, as the rest would do. He said, "No, you're going to anoint him." Waterwell came over to the front. I caught him, said, "What did the Lord?" He said, "You're going to anoint him. You're going to do everything." I don't know how they do it in prison. I never was part of one before, and I do it the way we as Anabaptists. I don't know how other people do it. Is there a right and wrong way? I don't know. I just said, "God, I'm in a place I never was before. Speak. Direct. Guide. Walk with me this morning." And I needed his walk with me. Chaplain said, "If you're a born-again Christian, part of this congregation, you can come up here if your sins are under the blood and lay hands on this brother as we pray for you." Now, brothers of color, I don't know if you ever prayed with brothers of color, but they enjoy praying to the Lord. And I found out that morning they enjoy praying to the Lord out loud. I was to lead that anointing service. I anointed them, and then I started to pray, and now there's about 40 or 50 men praying out loud. And I'm trying to pray, and I can't even hear myself pray. What do you do? I said, "Lord, it was time to quit. You'll tell me." And I just kept praying until I heard things slowing down, and I closed the prayer. Then he said, "Here's another man that needs anointed too." When we were done, I anointed 4 of them. You know, I hadn't even preached yet, and I was exhausted. I really was. It takes something out of you. But yeah, I was happy to be part of that, to see God at work. I've had many experiences in prison that are just been so meaningful to me. I had some that weren't so meaningful, I'll admit that. But times that, in fact, before we went to India, or to Israel, that spring, I was sharing at SCI Benner near Bellefonte, and I was sharing with the men that we had wanted to go for 2 years, and I said, "I don't know if it's going to happen. They're still fighting, so I don't know if it will." I said, "Just pray that God would have his way. If we get there, that's good, and if we don't, we understand." I said, "Amen," and I look back, and here comes a man right up through the center aisle. I said, "Uh-oh." I said something that he didn't like, or something that he's really going to agree with. I'm not sure which. He came up and shook my hand. He said, "Orville, when you were praying, God spoke to me and said, you are getting to Israel. He didn't give me a time frame when, but you were going to get there." I said, "Thank you, brother. I appreciate that." When I was in Israel, I shared that different places. You know, God arranged it that we could get there. That's all. And I don't know. I had a whole new outlook of what God's faith can do for mankind. And that's only a few of the stories I have to share. But how lovely are the tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yet faineth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. How many times have we cried out to God? Probably you all have at times. I have. I have struggled at times when I said, "God, there's no way that I can walk through this path." But as you get there, the path opens up and he directs your footsteps. There's something about that. It's such a blessing to walk with God. I know what it's like to tell people
are people to tell me they don't like me. In fact, as I'm winding down in my ministry, I'm starting to go through a study of 47 and a half years, a collection of all kind of notes, and here I found a note that someone sent to me years and years ago when we were starting to change from Lancaster Conference to Keystone, and this person didn't like that. They said, "Irwin, you're making a bad mistake." They said, "I don't like what you're doing. You're going the wrong way in your ministry, and there's other people that's following us." A couple today has been part of Anabaptist. They're put out and left behind. Now, it's just a shame how far they can go. It just was interesting. I didn't even know I had it. But there was that note, and I had to read it. Read it once, and I said, that's enough to read it once. It brings back what the hatred, whenever you want to take a stand. And so I just want to bless you as a congregation tonight for what you have done. That God will direct you and guide you and lead you as you walk. Be a light in this community. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for faith that we can have in you, that we can walk with you. Even though we feel unable, that we just don't know how things are going to work out, that we can just take your hand in ours, and you will lead us, you will direct us, you will guide us, you will minister to us. Lord, it's such a blessing to meet with brothers and sisters who love you, walk with you, care for each other, minister to those in the community. And I just pray a special blessing on this congregation as they continue to reach out and walk by faith, that you would minister to them, direct them, guide them. Lord, go with us as we conclude the Lord's Day, and guide us and direct us as we move into whatever you have for us this week, that you would give strength, you would give wisdom, you would give direction. Thank you again for this good evening of being together. May the teaching of your word minister to each one that's here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.